Hello, everyone, and welcome to our gathering this evening at Freedom's Way. If anyone has opened this message as a podcast, we'd like for you to understand it is a live teleconference meeting, so there will be people dialing in from all around the country. To give them an opportunity to get here, we'll start in about 3 to 5 minutes. And anytime, you podcasters, anytime you'd like to join Freedom's Way on our teleconference meetings, they're held every Monday and Friday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You would dial 605-475-2090 and enter your access code, which is 373-363-POUND. It spells free me on your telephone keypad. You can also go online to freedomswayministries.com for more information about us and ways to support our ministry. So welcome, welcome. We normally have a teaching message, like having church on Monday nights and Friday nights. But tonight we're going to change up a little bit and just answer some questions. Years ago, we used to do this, and we called it Stump the Pastors. And then when we kept getting stumped, we decided just to not call it that anymore. I'm kidding. But if you would like to say hello, please put, no, you don't have to push anything. Just say hello if you'd like to say hello. Your lines are open. You want to tell me you're here.
This is Helen, and I'm here.
Thank you, Helen, for being here.
My time on my phone says 8:29. I'm going to have to check my time. I seem to call in early.
Well, it's okay if you do. The lines actually open up at 8:25, but our start time is supposed to be officially 8:30, but most people don't call till 8:30 or 8:31 or 2, so I give them an opportunity to settle down. Well, I think Florida may be having some weather in the next few days.
So are you in the path of that storm?
Pray for us. They say we are, but I believe that the Lord's going to turn it.
Amen.
Amen.
We will think and pray along those lines.
Amen. Would anyone else like to say hello just yet? Now is a good time to do that. Yes, beautiful sunset. It is a beautiful world. The Lord made so many wonderful things for us. I am so awed with this planet, with the clouds and the trees, and I'm just in awe every time.
Yeah.
Every time I look outside.
When you mention those two, the clouds and the trees are my favorite. And even late at night, up here in Michigan, I forget which parallel we're close to, it really doesn't start to get really pitch dark until maybe 9:30. You still have a sky, but on the side of my apartment complex, if you're on the other side, it's more expensive because you have bright sunshine. And I'm on the back side, but that's okay. I've got a whole field of trees to look out on, and they're just beautiful. But the clouds are absolutely fascinating to me. And we have the most beautiful cloud accumulation up here. It's I just can't describe it. I like it.
It is. It's amazing. And if you think about it, no two skies are ever the same.
Right. Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
Even over the course of a day.
Right. Yeah.
It's different.
The word vastness has been coming to me a lot lately as I think about creation. It just is so much more. So little we know and so much more to know.
That is true. And the other thing that fascinates me is I do not think that anyone could actually count the different shades of green.
No.
If you just looked around you in a small space without even taking in a whole forest and grasses and bushes and it's just amazing. God is just absolutely amazing. So does anybody else want to say hello before I mute your phones and Pastor Phil prays? Anybody want to say anything before we get started tonight?
Yes, hello. This is Renee finally joining.
Hi, Renee. Welcome.
Hello, pastors. Thank you.
We are coast to coast with the Holy Ghost. So I am going to mute your phone, and we will get underway tonight. Hallelujah.
Love know who you are.
Hallelujah. Welcome, everyone. This Monday, July the 5th, celebrated as the 4th for the third straight day. Hallelujah. So we are celebrating the birth of our nation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this nation. Good that all that it represents. Thank you for your plans with it. Father, we are thankful people. We give you glory and honor this evening. Thank you that you are present, that your anointing is present. I guess I should say who we are.
I guess so.
I'm Phil Burdett. I'm here with my wife, Vicki. We are Freedom's Way Ministries, and our mission is to help you come into your full identity in Christ, to walk in all the power, the glory, the victory that God had intended for us to walk in from the foundation of the world. So that is our mission. Any way we can help you to be closer and more like God to experience the strength and wisdom and power is offered in with kingdom authority. So that's what we do. I'm going to pray us in. Already got started. The anointing is present already. Hallelujah. Lord, bless your people. We thank you, Lord. We are here. We are willing. We are open. Empower us, Lord, with your word, with your presence, with your spirit. Thank you, Lord, for all of it. And we receive, we are open, and we say, Holy Spirit, have your way tonight. We give you honor and glory, and we say that, and in the name of Jesus, I turn aside any interloper, any demon spirit that would try to get in here and foul up the works and make this message not come across as God intended it to do. You are bound, Satan, and we say, get you behind us and get your hands off God's property in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. And Father, I ask for your wisdom tonight for Phil and I as we answer the questions of your people according to your heart. If there is anything that's said that's not your word or your will or your way, I just ask that you remove it from our minds and hearts. Hallelujah. As I said a little bit earlier, this is a bit of a deviation from our normal Monday night, Friday night teaching message, in that we are here to answer your questions, your scriptural questions, your things that have just kind of worried your mind or unsettled your heart, anything that we might have said over the last weeks or years or at some point in our relationship and in the teachings that you've listened to that may not be understood. And so that is what we are going to do tonight. And I'm going to start out with an email that I received. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but just part of it. This is from a group that we have been working with in California. And these are ladies who are embroiled in legal issues regarding their homes. There's some corruption in the court systems and very real intimidation and threats against them. So many things have been unveiled, and the truth is coming forth. You know, God's truth will prevail, and we can't defend it because that's his job, but it will always come forth. So last Friday, we did a teaching on the spirit of accusation, because I know that many of these ladies have been falsely accused and unjustly persecuted. So it's our intention that everyone understand the spirit of accusation and not be subject to it. When we are accused, not to receive that accusation and then allow that spirit to work through us to accuse others, and so on and so forth. So the question came up, and I will read part of this email. God has ordained man-made government to be under his authority, and we are to subject ourselves to governments. At the same time, there are examples in Scripture of men of God refusing to deny God, so their convictions force them not to submit to the demands of their government authorities when it conflicted with God's commandments. We are to submit to our governmental authorities and interact with them, knowing it is the demons using them to commit evil, but not they themselves in their true identity. The question comes up in something that I say quite frequently about not keeping a record of wrongs. And the question is, how to resolve the seeming conflict of not keeping a record of wrongs when it comes to defending our rights in our court cases. Would you help us have the right attitude of standing on God's principles, not only for ourselves specifically, but as he instructs humanity to be righteous, to protect and defend the needy, the orphans, the widows, and so forth, and that the proper role of government is to restrain evil and defend the defenseless against evil. And all of that is true. Hallelujah, 100%. We agree. We do also understand that especially in many places around the country, the government agencies and the court systems are in and of themselves evil. So how do we defend the defenseless against evil if they're not defending the defenseless against evil, basically?
You got something to say? I'm going to get to the question in a minute.
Oh, you haven't got.
No, I haven't. I'm just. Go ahead. Okay. Well, I'll go ahead then.
All right. So, not keeping a record of wrongs refers to a personal, interpersonal relationship. It doesn't refer to documentation that really must be kept in anything that might become a legal matter. Whether it's a divorce, a lawsuit, a defense position against unjust persecutions, whatever it is that is going into the world system and needs to be defended, that does need a record. It does need the documentation that is necessary.
Yeah, if you take it to the extreme, you can take any scripture to the extreme, and it loses its value, because it would be like, well, I don't keep any record of anything then, and then you have, you know, you're a sitting duck to be abused by the world. So no, it would not mean that you couldn't take care, you know, protect yourself and do what is intellectually correct in making the moves, because there is an enemy that we have to move against. So to not make any move would be sitting there passive, and that is not what the scripture is saying.
Right. We are to, the scripture tells us we're to take blood in the heavens, not in the earth, but in the heavens. You know, there's a scripture in Judges. It's, Judges 5.
We're talking spiritually.
Yes, spiritually. Judges 5, verse 23, I think. And that says, well, let me read it to you, because I don't want to give it to you wrong in any way. So let me just get there.
Well, see, there's a letter of the law.
Yes, there is.
And then there's the spirit of the word. And we need to balance those against each other, because the letter, if you go all letter, you're Satan is a legalist, and he will attack you on legal grounds. But with the spirit, we know we add in the love of God and what we're doing, and of course the righteous, and to stand righteous and firm in what is correct.
Amen. And Judges 5, verse 23 says, "Curse you, Meraz," said the angel of the Lord. "Curse you bitterly, the inhabitants thereof, because they came not to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty." Now, does God need our help? No, he doesn't. But does he expect it? Yes, he does. It's just as when we know the truth, we are responsible for that truth. We can't deny the truth, and we can't ignore the truth. We can't turn away from the truth. We have to uphold it. So I hope that answered the question. I also want to go to Psalm 35, because anytime anyone is going before, especially a judicial authority or a government agency with all the bureaucratic red tape and the rules and regulations and whatever that most of us do not understand anyway. This is the prayer, Psalm 35, that is quite effective against and for our defense against the evil of those world systems. And it simply says this, and I'm going to read this as a prayer, and making it personal. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for my help. Draw out also the spear and stop the way against those that persecute me. And say unto my soul, I am your salvation. You, Lord, are my salvation. Oh, Father, deviating from the psalm now. Oh, Father, sometimes justice just doesn't get it. I need mercy. You are my salvation. Going back to the psalm, let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul, after my property, after my relationship, after whatever it is. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as the chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery. Let the angel of the Lord persecute them, for without cause they have hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Let destruction come upon him. We're not talking about the person, we're talking about the spirit. Let destruction come upon him at unawares. Let his net, now we're talking about the person, let his net that he has hid catch himself into that very destruction. Let him fall. You know, the word tells us, with the merciful, God will show mercy. With the forward, God will be perverse. So, we just, as we pray the word of God. You cannot go wrong when you pray the word of God. Do you have something to add, Phil? Regarding this particular thing, I just ripped my Bible. I'm going to go get some tape.
I got my sword out a little too quickly.
Hallelujah. And we're talking on the subject here of the word applied. And, you know, some people that some in the world who want to discredit the word of God will tell you some things. There's some things it says, you know, when Jesus is talking about if your right eye offends you, or pluck it out, or if your arm offends you, cut it off, and those types of things. And it's certainly if you're reading it without the Spirit, you know, you go, wow, that's pretty radical. But if you're reading, if you're in the Spirit and you're studying the Word with an open heart of belief and faith, then you will understand it. Even, you know, I read through that in the years that I in studying the Word, I've read through scriptures like that and never even considered that he meant literally to do that. But yet you'll see in media or the like, they'll attack the scripture and they'll say, look, he told you to cut your arm off or something, you know, or somebody will go and do something like that.
And there are religious spirits out there that follow that letter of the law. You know, you steal something in some countries, they cut your hand off.
That is correct. So it's just not intended the way, because it's all coming. God is love, and his word comes from a heart of total, perfect love. So you have to add in his attributes and his spirit when you read the word, and the word will minister to you and empower you and make you stronger in all of your ways, which includes operating in the world and in the world system, where you have to, at times, you have to stand up for yourself. You have to stand up against injustice. It's just so many instances, because it's the way the world is, and you know the systems of the world are corrupt, and our job is to make them the kingdoms of our Christ. And that's what we do that to the best of our ability, and that's who we are. And I'm including all who are listening. That's who we are. We are the people that are reconciling the world back to the Lord.
Amen.
So it's a high calling, but you gotta always inject the Spirit into the Word to receive it, and then of course. That says there's your safety in a multitude of counselors. So you can have to have, like many are doing, they're having like small groups of people that gather. That's a great thing, to share the word and bounce things off of and get other people's perspective too and see how that applies. And you can get the whole counsel of God that way, because the corporate anointing allows you to have extra counseling. God is counseling because he's in the midst when he's lifted up.
Let me also add here that those scriptures in the Psalms, the voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. I can't give you the address, but you can look it up. And in Hebrews, it says that God has made his angels ministering spirits, and his spirits, his people, his ministers, flames of fire. And we are the ministers. He calls us to be ministers of reconciliation. And minister means servant. He also calls us to be servants to him. Our job is to serve God. So if we are the flames of fire, and the voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire, to me what that means is we all have a spark. We all have a flame. We may not ever all agree on every point of doctrine, and that's okay, because God designed it that way. He made us. I've got a piece, Phil's got a piece, Helen's got a piece, Renee's got a piece, everybody on this call's got a piece, every Christian on the planet's got a piece of the truth. When we get all those pieces together, that is the flame that cleanses the world, that goes through the land, bringing the judgment of God. Hallelujah. And justice to people. And as Phil was talking about the spirit of the Word of God, we have to understand, especially in that scripture that he was referring to about, you know, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. We are spirit beings first, because we're created in the image of God, and God is spirit. So the Word of God is always going to have both a sense of literal meaning and a figurative meaning, a spiritual meaning, as well as a natural meaning. So we kind of got a little bit off of where we started, but I hope that that answered the question. If you have a comment about that, or if you have a different question, or if we were not clear, please push your *6 key. That will unmute your phone. And if anybody has a question, I'm going to ask that you keep it to about 3 minutes so that we don't run too late. Yes. Tell me.
Hi. I wanted to appreciate the answer. This is Renee. And also point out that I myself wasn't so confused about taking something too literally with regards to our situations. However, I thought perhaps some of the other members of our group may have stumbled. So that was one reason for the question. And
sure.
The other, yeah, and I think it was a great illustration of your perspective in answering. So I appreciate that. I had an additional comment real quick on it for me personally. I listened to the recording of that call, and I was personally very uplifted. It was like a light bulb went off. I was very encouraged in seeing how the earthly realms of these systems, you know, be they courts and other governments, actually are under the authority of God.
Right.
And there was a way in which you said that, and that struck me, it landed, so that when we, being salt and light, you know, grounded in God's word and his kingdom, when we interact then with the world, we are actually coming in with the knowledge inside of ourselves, not necessarily, you know, spoken, but who we are in that situation are his people, knowing that God's authority is over all of them. And we
Amen.
Speak from that place. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
God bless you.
So
you got it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And that is so true. And I hope that anyone who is in a legal situation will realize that. Amen. And that is how the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Any other, and if you don't mind muting your phone back out, Renee, with *6 until you want to speak again, we'll make sure the lines are clear for everyone. So does anyone else have a question? And it doesn't have to be about accusation or the courts or keeping a record of wrongs or it has to do with what do you want to know? What have you wondered about? And until I hear your question, I want to talk a little bit about truth and the responsibility of it, because that's another thing that I say frequently is once you know the truth, you are responsible for it. So there is a responsibility of truth. There's also a truth of responsibility. Our freedom is something that truly is relatively easy to achieve in terms of being delivered from evil spirits. We need only to understand what spirit we're dealing with, recognize it, take responsibility for it, repent for participating with it, and remove it. And then we get to resist it. It's easy to get free, but a lot of times it's not so easy to maintain that freedom. Because once we do get free, then we go back to our same environment. We are still living with the same people who don't understand what we understand. We're still interacting on the same job. We still got the same mean boss or whatever it is. And so those spirits are ever trying to reestablish themselves. And that's where the truth of responsibility comes in. I'll give you another example. The example of the person who had the alcoholic personality, for instance, a spirit of addiction and alcoholism, and got free of that through deliverance. That person also needs to discipline himself or herself. Might need to get new friends, might need to go to different places, might need to change a lifestyle until that freedom is so firmly established in the person that they can go anywhere they want to, that they can have wine with dinner, that they can, you know, they can go to a party that serves liquor and they're not going to get drunk because their freedom is established. So there is deliverance, but there is also discipline. And it takes both. It takes both discipline and deliverance. If you are a person who is living strictly under discipline, because the truth is we have a will and we have a strong will. God gave us a will so that we would decide what we allow into our lives and what we don't allow into our lives. And that is a very strong decision-making faculty, your will. So as an act of my will, for example, if I am addicted to alcohol, I can stop drinking as an act of my will. A person who is addicted has a spirit of addiction to pornography, for example, can stop watching pornography. You can do that on your own, but the spirit is still there and manifests itself. It will manifest in another direction, or it will turn inward and destroy your own body because of the conflict that it creates in you. Because you're not free. You've stopped, but you're not free. And, you know, we have dealt over the years with many people. I'll just take that pornography issue as an example. It's rampant throughout the body of Christ. And we had a young man in his 40s that had struggled since he was 13 years old with pornography, or 12 or 13. And he had stopped. It almost ruined his marriage. He and his wife, they got the counseling, they did everything. She stood by him, and they solidified the marriage, and he had not fallen, so to speak. in like 6 or 7 months. And then he did. And he ended up in our office. And when he learned the source, the root issue of why he had a spirit of addiction, he was able to separate himself from it, and he has been absolutely clean for the last 5 years. For a long time. Has no desire. And it amazes him that he has no desire, even to this day. But you can stop on your own, but the spirit is still there. You need deliverance as well as discipline to get free. And that is the truth. And that's where responsibility comes in. When you receive truth, it's your responsibility to keep it, to honor it, to guard it. So let's just think about it, because if we're honest with ourselves, and I hope that we all are, you have to admit that when someone offends you, you react. Sometimes rather badly, in anger or frustration or indignation or whatever. And a lot of times, that reaction opens the door and allows a root of bitterness to be planted in your heart. So instead of immediately weeding it out, you start to water it. You start to talk about what happened to you. You tell your friends. You run to the phone and not to the throne. You complain to anybody who will listen about how you were wronged and how unfairly you were treated and yada, yada, yada. Would you say that's a fair assessment, Phil?
Absolutely.
So, in Hebrews chapter 12, let's just go over there. Didn't know you were going to take me here, Lord, but I'm sure it's a good place having to do with truth. It says this. Verse 14 and 15. Verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. That word see means understand. You're not going to understand the Lord if you're not set apart to him. Looking diligently, verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. This is a very powerful verse. It imparts a very powerful truth that calls for serious responsibility on our part. Because, go ahead.
Well, when you talk about discipline, you know, it's such an ugly word to a lot of people. But, you know, the word says to go and make disciples, and that comes from the word discipline, people that are disciplined in Christ and in God. And because with discipline, that's where the miracles are. I mean, we are disciplined. We discipline our flesh. We discipline ourselves to do the things that we know are right. And God blesses that. You know, it's so freeing and liberating, because you don't have to carry anything yourself.
Amen.
And we have such a tendency to be so, basically, the pride that rises up in us is our biggest enemy, because we can do it ourselves, you know? Remember that commercial, Mother, please, I'd rather do it myself. But we could, you know, we have this in us. And so discipline in that is bringing it into subjection to the Word of God, to Jesus Christ. And when we do that, we are walking in truth, we're walking in power, and it's a ride. It's a great place to be. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, babe. You know, Jesus said that offenses would come. In Luke 17, verse 1, he said to the disciples, those disciplined ones, it is impossible but that offenses will come. So, you know, we all oftentimes have an opportunity to be offended.
Right.
We do. And that word impossible here is a Greek word that means impossible, inadmissible, unallowable, unthinkable. It's unthinkable that you're not going to have an opportunity to be offended. It's unthinkable that an offense is not going to come into your life. We live in a cursed world, and those offenses are there. It could be said this way. It is simply unthinkable that you would allow yourself to dream that you could live this life without an opportunity to become offended. And we're to follow peace with all men as far as that is possible. But what is an offense? I just wanted to go into the Greek with this word for a minute. I think we got some time to do that. It comes, the word offense here, comes from the Greek word skandalon. That's where we get the word scandal. It's a powerful picture that we need to understand. The word skandalon, and I may not be saying it right because I'm not Greek, it originally described a small piece of wood that was used to keep the door of an animal trap propped open. Food was placed inside the trap to lure the animal inside, and when the animal entered the trap and accidentally bumped the scandalon, a small piece of wood, the scandalon collapsed, caused the trap door to slam shut, the animal was caught inside, no way to escape. And that is how that spirit of bitterness gets planted. It's a trap. The offense is a trap. It's a scandalon. It's the trap. It's the snare of the devil for us to take an offense . Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I just think it's amazing. Now, also, the New Testament uses this word to refer to a stone or an obstacle that causes you to trip, to stumble, to lose your footing, to waver, to falter, to fall down. In 1 Peter 2, verse 8, let's see what that one says. This word is also used. Oh, no, that's 2 Peter. Okay, 1 Peter 2, verse 8. A stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. So that word is scandalon. Offense is used to describe how unbelievers react to the gospel when they don't want to hear it. They don't want to believe it. They trip over it. Rather than accept the message and be saved, people stumble when they hear the truth. They trip over the message that could set them free. But when you hear the truth and you receive it, you're responsible to hold on to it, to keep it, and to live in it. In Luke 17, when Jesus was using this word scandalon, offenses will come, he was warning us about the events that happen in our lives that have the potential to trip us up. You know, oftentimes Satan will bait you with something, draw you into a trap where he knows there will be offense. When we bump into that moment of offense, then the trap slams shut. And like the animal that's trapped in a cage and can't get out, we find ourselves caught in a miserable situation. We're trapped in detrimental and negative emotions. And that bitterness starts to grow. Wow. So the whole verse, you could say, is simply unthinkable. That you would allow yourself to dream. You could live this life without an opportunity to be lured into a situation that could potentially snare you in a feeling of offense. So, offense occurs when you see or hear or experience a behavior so different from what you expected that it causes you to falter. Sometimes you're stunned by what you've observed or by that failed expectation, that you lose your footing emotionally. You may even be flabbergasted, and then shock turns into disbelief, and disbelief into disappointment, and disappointment into offense. Follow peace with all men, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. If you're troubled, you'll lose your peace. If you lose your peace, you're probably not going to be holy. And if you're not holy, you won't see the Lord. And notice, many are defiled by the root of bitterness that was planted in you or in me. Hallelujah. So let's be a source of blessing and not offense. Amen.
You have something to say about offense?
Well, I think you said it all. Offenses will come. You know? I mean, it's that's you're likely to have some type of offense or an attempted offense every day of your life. But in Christ, we can do all things, and we can step right over those. Remember, Jesus was the Lamb of God, but he was also the Lion of the tribe of Judah.
Amen. That was his nature, was the Lion.
That's right. And so with love, even, and, you know, if we walk in love, but we have the spirit of the lion in us. We stand for righteousness. We are righteously indignant in our actions, deeds, and thoughts. We do not tolerate unrighteousness in our lives. So we stand for truth, and we fight with all we have for it.
Yes, we come with the help of the Lord.
Amen.
Not that he needs it, but he expects it.
Yes,
he Amen.
To have us join in his fight.
That's right.
That is who he is. He likes company. That's why he made us the way we are, in his image.
There's a verse in Joshua. The story, the background is Gibeon. You know, Joshua was leading the Israelites into the promised land and destroying all the cities along the way. He was taking everything. And Gibeon was one of those cities in the path, and they didn't want to get destroyed. So they sent an envoy. They deceived Joshua, if you remember. And, you know, they put on these really old, dirty, ragged clothes and took stale bread. And we've come a long way. We want to make an alliance with you, and so on and so forth. And Joshua didn't consult the Lord about it, so he was fooled into it. And he made an alliance with them. Well, when the other cities around, there were five of them, and when the other cities around found out what Gibeon had done, that they were now in league with the Israelites, they were really upset. So they said, okay, come on, we'll go destroy them. We'll take Gibeon. We'll teach them a lesson. They can't do this to us. Well, then, of course, Gibeon went to Joshua and said, hey, you're our ally. You have to fight for us. Which is true. And the greater always blesses the lesser. The lesser is always blessed by the greater. The greater one protects the lesser one. Always. So Joshua took the army out there and destroyed the five kings and the five cities, and the kings all hid in a cave, and Joshua told his men to go get them. And I want to read this to you. It's in Joshua chapter 10, beginning at verse 22. Then said Joshua, open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings to me. And they did, and they brought them forth. I'm going down to verse 24. When they brought out those kings to Joshua, Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said to the captains of the men of war which went with them, come near, put your feet on the necks of these kings. They came near and put their feet on the necks of them, and Joshua said to them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom you fight. You put your neck, your foot, on the neck of the enemy in the spirit, and God will do it in the natural. Hallelujah. That is worth
price.
Now, that's worth the price of admission, folks. Hallelujah. So let's just pray together. Father God, I repent to you for ever being a source of offense. For not coming to the help of the mighty. You, Lord. I repent to you, Lord, if I have offended anyone, or if I have received offense badly, and caused any root of bitterness that would spring up and trouble me or defile many. Help me to be a source of blessing and not a cause of offense. Help me to communicate correct messages according to your word, your will, and your way. Help me bring healing and restoration and reconcile man to God, and people to each other. Lord, I want to bring judgment on evil spirits and justice to people. It is my desire to walk in the Spirit, to speak the truth in love and holy boldness, and to refuse to allow the devil to trap me in with the bait of offense. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, if you have a comment about tonight or a question, you can push your *6 key, or if you just want to let us know that you were here tonight. And we're going to do this again on Friday. I'm sure it will be different in some ways, the same in others. Comments, questions?
Hello, this is Helen.
Yes, ma'am.
I appreciated this. Yeah, I appreciated this so much. That's all I'm going to say. I could go on and on. I guess I just appreciate this kind of teaching. This is different from, you know, some of the things that you've given us. But your teaching is very good. Things I have never heard. Okay? And so that's important. Yeah, thank you very
much. Praise the Lord. You're very welcome. Praise the Lord. That really humbles me. I appreciate that a lot. Anybody else got something to say before Phil blesses us tonight? Okay, then. Pastor husband.
Well, Father, we just thank you for your presence tonight. Thank you for your people. Ask you to bless them abundantly in every way, spiritually, financially, physically, emotionally, every way. Be with them in all their comings and goings. Strengthen their walk in you, Lord. Speak to their hearts clearly that they know that it's you and that you have a good plan and that your way is the right way. So we thank you for all that you are and all that you do, Father. Your permission, I'll bless your people as Aaron blessed the people of Israel. In Numbers, the 6th chapter, first I'll do in Hebrew, and then in English. It's called the Aaronic Benediction. Yivarechach Adonai ve'yishmarecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha yifunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yesem lecha Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his face unto you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance unto you and give you peace, give you shalom. And I add in Yeshem Yeshua in the name of Jesus, who is our Sar Shalom, our Prince of Peace. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for our Prince of Peace, Lord. Thank you, God, for all your goodness. And we thank you for your blessing on us, Lord. Camp your angels around us and protect us as we come and go, and give us a God-filled, glorious week in you, and give us great progress in your kingdom in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, dear. We will be back here in the morning at 7:15 for the King's Table. Again, Friday night, we will have questions.
Thank you so much. Praise God.
You're so welcome. God bless you one and all.
God bless you. Goodbye.
Good night.